If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. If you have an iPad, even easier. Maybe not so much on the Apple Watch. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. That's how we here at Not a Strong Start get our streaming out there. It's everything you need to make in a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm to get started.
Tell you have colored eyes. No one can tell that me and you both have colored eyes. My eyes are actually blue,
but they're not blue.
You can't really tell.
Did you throw dirt on them?
That's the only way. If I change it in color correction, sure, yeah, you have blue eyes.
Yeah.
So welcome back to Not a Strong Start, a podcast by three filmmakers that love to talk movies, television, and anything else in between. I am your host, Daniel DeSangre.
I'm Chuck.
Jose Ramos, and it looked like you were gonna say something else. You like opened your mouth like
that. Yeah, I was, and then I didn't.
Chuck's always opening his mouth. Anyways, so now we have the current event.
The current event is actually the Obi-Wan Kenobi show from Disney that was supposed to come out the 25th. It got delayed by 2 days, so it's gonna come out 2 days later. But they're gonna release both episodes at the same time. So you get two episodes on the first day due to the delay.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who were excited after seeing that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Jar Jar Binks in this one or no?
No, he got visually murdered in the prequel. Just viciously.
Really? Is that true? Is that true, Dan? Because if I'm not mistaken, you should have watched episode one by now since you lost last time in True.
That's so correct. Yes. Oh, yeah. He viciously got murdered. His parts, decapitation, everything. Every word to use of how vile he is, that's what his body turned into. Turned into mush, all of it.
His skull is actually on Predator's ship right now on the trophy wall.
Exactly.
How dare you? So blasphemous. Well,
actually, it used to be part of the trophy wall. It's not trophy anymore. Now it's just a paperweight that he keeps on his desk. So for this week's episode, we're doing our very first artist spotlight. And who better than Bruce Willis, right? We want to get right into Bruce Willis, man. It's very sad news what we heard from him, that he's stepping, for the reasons why he's stepping into retirement.
He got diagnosed with, I believe they pronounce it, aphasia.
Aphasia, that's right.
And basically, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a condition usually due to damage in a specific part of the brain that affects basically the understanding and the expressing of language, communication, written and verbal.
Yeah, man. And the sad part about that is that he crammed in like 8 movies that are going to be getting released between this year and next year. And even the Razzies made their own category for him for worse Bruce Willis performances. But obviously, nobody knows that he's dealing with this. So I was even reading an article that mentioned how some of his at least over a dozen people that he's been on set with started noticing things were wrong. And as they were talking to him, he kept asking, okay, I know why you're here and why you're here. Why am I here? It's just little moments like that, man. It's just, it's sad. It's sad to see because it's a John McClane, man. You know, you don't wish it on anybody, but with Bruce Willis in particular, I mean, the guy's a legend. He's been in so many great movies that we all love. So we wanted to spend this episode not talking just about, you know, what's going on with him personally, but we also want to kind of glorify a little of what he's doing. Talk about some of the great projects that we grew up as film fans, you know, watching and sort of embrace that a little bit. So
his journey has touched a little bit of everything. You know, usually it's kind of like that storybook direction. It's not like some people where it's like one random event and all of a sudden they like end up like a star, but he's kind of been through the motions. So he's he started off doing theater in high school. I remember reading that he actually had a stutter when he was young, and he started doing act, and the acting in the theater actually helped him with his stutter. I remember years later, he revealed that, and I think he was part of or donated to foundations that deal with stuttering. But he started off, yeah, with theater. He did theater in high school. He did theater in college, well, university here in the States, before he started going into film when he moved to California eventually. So he, you know, started at the bottom.
Started from the bottom. Now he's here. Yeah, man. I also saw a weird stat that said he was born in Germany. You guys know that? Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds as if he relocated out here pretty quickly. Like, I don't think he grew up out there, but he was born out there, man.
Yeah, I think he went to, I forget where he went to high school, but I know he went to University of New York. And then after he got out of, funny thing, one of his jobs, it was just funny because some of his later roles, he played this type of character. He was a private investigator. At some point before he's, yeah, I think when he was in university, Rocky University, he was a private investigator. And, you know, he did the typical bartending aspect of it. And then I think he did some extra work in New York and Broadway, well, some off Broadway stuff before he went to California and started pursuing more film.
Nice, man. That's pretty cool. You know, and we know the very first thing he started doing was moonlighting, right? Moonlighting, the television show, lasted about 4 years, but it was more like a comedy drama series. So he was primarily known as a TV guy for a while. Not sure how much he was trying to break into movies, but that was what it was. So he did, I know he did a couple of offshoot features before Die Hard, but he was still known as the moonlighting guy. He was known as doing more comedy. So by the time he did Die Hard, that was a huge gamble that they took on him. Because, you know, big budget action movie that was coming out, obviously it paid off, man. He crushed it. $138 million worldwide, dude.
They didn't even want them. Did you guys ever see how it was made, or I forget the title of it, on Netflix, where kind of described the journey of some of those movies? They had the Die Hard one. They didn't want them. They had a fight for them. And then when they ran... when they put out the poster with like him on it, people were laughing. As soon as they saw him on screen, it was kind of like, who the hell is this guy? So I remember they said in there, they had to, for promotional purposes, they took him out of the posters and they just put the tower. They're like, let's focus on the tower. The tower's the main character, because we show him, people are not going to take it serious.
Damn, man, seriously. That's Die Hard, man. That is... Despite what anybody else says, that's a Christmas movie. That is 100% a Christmas movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of Ledger when he was casted as the Joker. They were like, the rom-com guy? You're going to put this guy to play the Joker? It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. How about you, Chuck? How do you feel about Die Hard?
I love Die Hard. I love Die Hard. It's a Christmas movie. You know what? I love all the Die Hards.
All five of them.
I love Die Harder. I love Die Hard with a Vengeance. I love, what is the next one? Live Die Free Harder. Or Die Hard?
Yeah.
Is it a good day to Die Hard? I don't know.
Please Die Hard, please.
Please Die Hard. Please Stay Hard. Yeah, no. It's,
That was a XXX parody, man. That wasn't the same one. No, it was good, man. Yeah, Die Hard is obviously what, even though the guy's done so many iconic roles, Die Hard, I think, is still his main thing. You know, that's still what he's known for, I think, as more than anything else, right? I mean, it had to be, right? John McClane.
I mean, how many times has Bruce Willis saved the world, right? Like, I think he saved the world in one of the Die Hards. The cyber one, maybe that could have been
so Live Free or Die Hard one.
Yeah, Fifth Element, he saved the world. Armageddon, he saved the world.
Absolutely saved the planet. Yeah, he saved Earth.
Yeah, he did. And something else. There's something else in there.
Okay, so for Bruce Willis, what I want to ask you guys is why what makes him so Bruce Willis? What makes him so charismatic? Why does Die Hard work because of him? and they couldn't have casted somebody else. So Jose, I'll give it to you first.
I think one of the main things, and this probably has to do with his background and when in doing like Moonlighting, again, he started off in those comedic routes when he first threw. And so that and the fact that, you know, he wasn't a jacked Stallone or Schwarzenegger or anything like that, you can relate to him more. He just looked like a regular guy. He was like, oh shit, I'm here in the party, shit's going down, I guess I gotta do something about it. You know?
Yeah.
So I think he was more relatable than like freaking Python Schwarzenegger.
Oh, absolutely. How about you, Chuck?
Yeah, same thing. You know, it's like you almost felt like, oh, I can do that. If I was at that Christmas party, I could do that. You know,
barefoot, where, I could do that.
Barefoot, I could do that. I walk around barefoot all the time. Yeah, no, that's totally the same reason. It was just, he was just relatable. He was just a little dude, you know, and he wasn't all jacked like Jose was saying. Like, he was just some guy and he was a cop and, you know, like, you felt like you could have did it too. I mean, I know I could have, but I'm just saying, like, yeah. I don't know if you guys would be able to do it.
I did it.
Yeah, Jose's already done it. Okay, it's just confidential information. It doesn't get leaked out.
I think what was good too, Dad and Chuck, is that I remember watching that movie, or still watching that movie. I watch it at least once a year, and some of his characters' reactions is almost—that's how a person would react in that situation. They're more like, "Oh fuck, here we go again." Like, you know, he was over it. Just like anyone else would be over it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's ironic because we're saying how he's not like the Stallones or the Schwarzeneggers, and then there he is being an Expendables later with these actors, and he's still. Yeah. But the thing is that he's in these movies because he's still iconic badass with them. But he's the everyday normal guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like your typical, what you just imagine as a normal dude in the 80s and the 90s. That was him, man.
Yeah, but it's Bruce Willis, though. You know what's funny? Funny story. He did Planet Terror with Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And so Robert Rodriguez said when he pitched him the idea, he's like, all right, there's like this elite group of like, you know, soldiers. And then you're the guy and you're the one that catches Bin Laden. Right. And then he's like, of course, who else? You know, he's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, all right, I think he's in.
Yeah, man. So, it's like. There's such a confidence to him, you know, a little cocky, but it's endearing, man. Like there's such an endearing quality to it. It doesn't come off as like overly pompous. And then, you know, you guys also know he was in a band, right? Yeah, he actually released albums. Yeah, he released three albums. Man, I saw that. I was like, what? I honestly have never heard a single one. Have you? Have you heard any of his songs?
No, I haven't heard them themselves, but I do know, I think one of them was a hit, right? It was before Die Hard came out.
Damn.
So he had a hit album, a hit song before Die Hard even came out. I'm sure that didn't help their worries about him being cast as an action hero. Yeah. You know, right there along, they're like, oh my God, the guy from the Seagram's like wine coolers is singing now. Like, this is the guy we're going to have, you know, fighting terrorists.
Yeah, seriously.
What was his band name called? Do you guys know?
I don't know. I do know, though, that he was considered for Ocean's 11, but he dropped out. Because he was recording an album or a song or something like that.
Wow. Well, he was in 12. He came out in Ocean's 12.
Yeah. So. Playing himself.
Sorry,
I think,
Brad
right?
Pitt. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, Brad Pitt. I can't. I gotta record.
Yeah, exactly, man. So then he did 12 Monkeys. I know we talked about that in a previous episode, but 12 Monkeys came out in 95. That one was awesome, dude. It was him and Brad Pitt. You know, in that movie together, you know, and it's have you guys seen it all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I have to say, though, I saw it like last year. Mm. That was the first time I had seen it since I was younger. It does not hold up.
No,
really?
No. You haven't seen it in a while.
Oh, man. I feel like I seen it a few years ago, and I know it kind of tails off at the end, but I love that movie.
Plus, I remember watched it. I didn't hate it, but I was just like, I should not have watched this. I should have left the image I already had in my head of this movie and that feeling.
But Brad Pitt was still good in it, right? I assume.
They were both good in it. It was just the movie itself.
Is Madeline still super hot in it too?
Not too loud. No, don't say too loud. But yeah, it's
not. He's all yeah.
and then I want to touch after that he did Fifth Element, man. I love Fifth Element, and what's funny, again, shocker, it's a sci-fi movie, but it was so good, man. Chris Tucker in it was so good in that movie, and it's got a huge cult following. The people that love Fifth Element love Fifth Element. I love it. I wish we would have seen a sequel, you know, for it. I don't know how exactly the logistics could have worked out, but they could have figured it out, man. That would have been so good to do. I wouldn't even mind if they did a television series on it. You know what I mean? Kind of like reboot it. But
so was that your favorite Bruce Willis movie that's not Die Hard?
I'd have to, no.
Really?
No, it's not.
Oh, Sixth Sense?
Maybe. It might be Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense, Fifth, that's non-Die Hard. It'd probably be Sixth Sense, Sin City, and Fifth Element are my favorite. Okay. Probably. Those are probably my three favorites.
No Hudson Hawk in there?
No, man. Dude. Color of Night? No? Color of Night, anybody?
I love Hudson Hawk. I watched that a lot when I was a kid.
You do know it's regarded as one of his worst movies, right?
Love it. I still love it.
Well, it probably won't be after these next crop of movies, but...
Chuck's Street Fighter, Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, it's a Street Fighter, yeah. You know what, though? I think in time, we'll see how that movie plays out, you know, Hudson Hawk. So, I mean, it's only been out for like 30-some years, but we'll see. We'll see.
Is that going to be another movie you're going to force me to watch or Jose to watch? It'll be Jose.
I think it's going to be you.
Get ready for the Bonfire of the Vanities. No. Never even seen it. Never even seen it. But I will. For you, Bruce Willis, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Maybe. For you, Bruce Willis, I'll watch what's that cop one he did with Kevin Smith?
Cop Out,
yeah.
Cop Out, dude.
I mean, I know we're praising Bruce Willis, but did you guys hear he was like kind of a dick in that movie?
Huge.
Like,
yeah. So I actually went to a Kevin Smith speaking event. You know how like sometimes he has those where he'll go and kind of just speak about
at a movie theater? I don't know.
Topic. No, he it's not in movie theaters. He does it at like college, you know, auditoriums or something like that. Oh, okay. And you'll go and he'll kind of talk about filmmaking and just life and whatnot. He talked about Cop Out. And when he did that, he was mentioning about how Bruce Willis was such a dick. And I don't remember the full details because I don't want to misquote how it went, but he sounded like a complete asshole. And you've heard stories about Bruce Willis being like that, like his ego really inflated during this whole 90s run, you know. So I don't know, man, he's still a badass.
Yeah. And they were in Die Hard together. Kevin Smith was in Live Free or Die Hard, the fourth one. Kevin Smith's in it.
Oh yes, yeah,
like a computer dude.
That's how they met each other. So I guess Bruce Willis didn't remember that he was even in it, something like that. And when they were on set, they'd have notes and then Bruce Willis would tell him, I'm not doing that, just straight up, I'm not doing that. And then he'd have to tell somebody else to go tell Bruce Willis what to do, like on set and stuff. Like, it was so toxic between the guys. Bruce Willis straight up hated him, hated Kevin Smith the entire time and let him know that. So Kevin Smith hates that movie, his own movie Cop Out. I feel bad for Tracy Morgan, man. He just showed up just to do a movie and now look at all that happened.
He's like, oh, Kevin Smith, Bruce Willis, awesome. He's like, fuck.
Yeah, whoops. The guy that did Clerks and Die Hard. Okay. Yeah. Sixth Sense, dude. Sixth Sense is one of my favorite, I guess, horror. I don't really know what the subgenre is of what you consider Sixth Sense, but it was amazing, dude. Yeah, it was like M. Night Shyamalan's like first big movie that he came out with where he was dubbed the next Steven Spielberg. If you remember that.
I watched it like a year ago. And it was like, I sat down and I watched it in its entirety. Still so good.
It's so good. And it doesn't age out. You know, I'll watch it every few years, man. It's so good.
Yeah. I even cried at the end.
And I definitely blew his load on that one.
Yeah. So,
oh yeah.
That was his peak. That was his peak. He did
thoroughly. Yeah, that was like me. I made a movie like in the fifth grade. Awesome, dude. I thought I was gonna be the next Spielberg. It was all downhill after that.
But, yeah. Well, it doesn't help if you tell yourself in that a mirror. Entertainment Weekly actually told M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, no, I told myself, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
You're going to be the next Spielberg. And
like, damn right.
Damn right you are.
I'll get out there and go watch those X-Men cartoons. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. No, man. The Sixth Sense. I remember a story where M. Night Shyamalan didn't know until, like, I think draft 13 or 19, something like that, that, you know, spoiler alert again, but it's been 20 years, so we're okay to talk about it. That Bruce Willis' character was dead the entire time. That wasn't until the 16th or the 19th draft, something like that. And I think, was it Kathleen Kennedy? I think it was Kathleen Kennedy that was a producer or something, where he met up with executives and they gave him that ending.
Really?
Wasn't even his. That's why when you go back and you watch M. Night Shyamalan movies, they just progressively had gotten worse and worse because his ego has just grown, where he's like, he could do no wrong and he can write whatever he wants. And it's like, that's why so many of his movies suffer, man. It's like,
really?
He was humbled back then. Yeah.
You know what?
It devalues it a little bit, doesn't it? Or it's like, that wasn't even your idea? It's like, what the hell?
You know what'll get him back up there, though, is I heard that he's actually was a ghostwriter for She's All That with Freddie Prinze Jr.
He did write
Prince Stuart Prince Jr. Little. Was dead the whole time?
That's why he was dead the whole time. Well, I mean, it would explain a little bit of his acting, I guess, but okay. Hey, what? He did write Stuart Little, that movie with the little the mouse that rode the car. That was M. Night Shyamalan.
I will say this. I don't want to get too far off of the Bruce Willis thing, but quick note, M. Night Shyamalan. I feel when M. Night is doing a low-key project without much attention and without a big budget, he does better than when he's given these bigger movies, then it's like it's a shit show.
Oh my god, Airbender.
the Happening.
But he did win an Emmy. That was his second Emmy. So he won one for the Moon Landing that he was in. Moonlighting that he was in, and he won one for his on Friends, the show Friends. Did you guys ever watch that? See his character or anything?
See Friends, dude. What's the matter with you, dude?
Yeah. Random episodes here and there. That wasn't one of them. But yeah, no, he did win for that. And I think he also got a Golden Globe, well, like three Golden Globes for Moonlighting. And then he got one for a movie, actually something that I'd never seen, which was In Country. Is one of his earlier, like early 90s projects. It was recommended to me, not based off of the movie, but I guess based off of his performance, because he shows good range of drama and comedy, like, together. But that might be one that I might check out at some point, because, I mean, he won for it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth checking out. And then Sin City, man. He did Sin City in 05 with Robert Rodriguez. I love Sin City. I thought they did such a great job of adapting that graphic novel. I'm a fan of Robert Rodriguez, but I don't think everything he does is great. Straight up. I mean, Desperado is amazing, dude. I love Desperado. But then he'll do Shark Boy and Lava Girl. And it's like, I get it's for the kids, but it's just made so poorly. It's really hard for me to wrap my brain around watching that.
Yeah, but hot take, though. I feel with the Grindhouse project, his overshadowed Tarantino's. I felt I was more entertained by his than Tarantino's in that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good, dude. That's one of my favorite movies. I got a poster of it in my bathroom. Yeah, so.
Because we could see that. So he's it's pointing right off screen.
No, it's over there.
Yeah.
That movie. Oh, you know what? He tried to do a Grindhouse movie, Robert Rodriguez, where I feel like Tarantino but I feel like he made a real movie. Like, it was just like...
Yeah, like, he edited it like it, but I see what Tarantino was going for, but Robert Rodriguez's story was just, it was such Grindhouse. Like, it's exactly what it was. The other one was such a slow burn. And Tarantino had some cool stuff, you know, with his, but... Robert Rodriguez, man, when he's on, he's really, he's so good. And he's so meticulous where he does, you know, the editing himself. He does the soundtrack stuff. He'll put a lot of that stuff together. The dude's amazing, and he's and he can cook. The dude's a chef. He used to have some videos where you see him, you watch him cooking some meals.
And he's Mexican. Rodriguez,
exactly. Exactly, that's what I'm saying, man. He's Latino. Hey,
no, he's Mexican. Hey,
exactly. So Bruce Willis did have a lot of great opportunities of working with a lot of stellar directors. So another one that he did is Moonrise Kingdom with Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. I like Moonrise Kingdom. Not sure if you guys have seen it or if you guys are Wes Anderson fans. I'm a Wes Anderson fan. I think Moonrise Kingdom is one of his better movies. And Bruce Willis was in that, man. It showed a little more of his versatility where he's not just like that gruff kind of sort of what Clint Eastwood, you know, Clint Eastwood is a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sort of like your everyday badass. Bruce Willis has a lot more range than that, and in Moonrise Kingdom he did pretty good.
Yeah, that was a great movie. I love Wes Anderson. I don't love everything he does, but he's pretty good though. But that was a great movie, a role for Bruce Willis too. So
yeah,
his best movie though for me is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I know, so you love that one.
Yeah. I love that movie, dude. That movie though is like Spanish Fly though. So girl comes over, throw on Fantastic Mr. Fox, you're good to go, dude. Just throwing it out there. For the listeners.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Good.
All right. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. All right, go ahead. Moving on.
All right. Yeah, I can get into Wes Anderson more, but we're not doing that. Again, this is Bruce Willis. You know, we're giving him his respect. And then, so we know accolades. So total, the dude had of all of his films, $2.64 billion in the U.S. alone. That's how much he... Yeah, that's a lot, man.
The change?
Absolutely, man. That's for a guy that they took a gamble on with Die Hard. Die Hard single-handedly blew him up to this level where the guy was able to book so many other movies. And he had a couple of spells every so often where his movies weren't quite hitting. But the dude, just the movies we named, the guy's been in so many iconic films.
Yeah, which I have to say, I'm disappointed in you, Dan. Because you went through all Armageddon. You didn't even get into Armageddon.
Oh, no, I'm going to get into Armageddon.
I'm not freaking getting
it. I got into Armageddon.
That's
why I said I'm disappointed in Dan.
Animal
Crossing. Oh, yeah. But in fairness, you're always disappointed in me. So that's just another one I chalk up today. No, Armageddon. Like, no, I want to talk about Armageddon because there's a lot to chew on that. And is it good? Is it so bad that it's good? Is it bad? Or is it just good? Like, what is it? I want to hear you guys' opinion.
Little column A, little column B, a little column C, sprinkles in some column D, and there we go. We got Armageddon.
Welcome to Michael Bay filmmaking. Yeah.
All that matters is that it is entertaining as hell to watch.
It's entertaining. That's what it is. It's entertaining. And I would tell someone, yeah, watch Armageddon. Yeah. Is it good? Yeah.
Watch Armageddon.
Watch Armageddon.
Yeah, watch Armageddon.
I was saying when it's good, it has great characters. You know, it has a cast that each play their character well. There's good chemistry among the cast. The story itself, you know, the writing itself, yeah, but you watch it for the characters, for those actors. And I would say, for as ridiculous as the movie gets, it was one of those movies that, you know, allergies tend to kick in at the end, like when you watch it. I remember watching it, and it was just like, holy shit, the pollen in this room, like, it's really like bugging me.
The pollen in the theater.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Dude, Steve Buscemi was so good in that movie.
Dude, no nukes.
I love Steve Buscemi, man. It was right around that era that he was did Con Air. Remember, he was good in Con Air. Mm-hmm. I love Steve Buscemi.
And, you know, it was another one of those movies for that time period where the main song hit. Mm-hmm. And now that song can't go on without you thinking about Armageddon. Yeah. And you can't think about Armageddon without thinking of that song.
So you're talking about the Aerosmith song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or you could have went with the one that Ben Affleck was singing. But that's not the song. That's not the song.
Leaving.
Let's not do that to our audience. Yeah. No question. After watching Armageddon, Who has used animal crackers in that way?
I have.
Yeah.
Because Ben Affleck did it. I just did it earlier. I was like, and the line goes in.
It doesn't count though if you're doing it to yourself, Charles. You're just going up your own
No,
stomach.
I've done it to Jose before, across his stomach. I was like, here we go, Jose.
You use
on
the
a
elephant,
jet plane. Yes, man. Okay. So we've gone through the whole catalog for the most part, right, of Bruce Willis's movie, because there's a lot of good ones that he did, like what was the one that he had with Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn? Do you remember that
Death
one? It
becomes her.
was what was it?
Death
Death
becomes her.
Becomes Her. Yep, I like that one, dude. That's a good one. It's a nice classic comedy that he did, like a dark comedy. That one's a nice fun one.
Yeah, I like that one.
I enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, now that we've gone through his catalog, I think one of the things that differentiates Bruce Willis is that even though he was an action star for a big portion of that, is unlike some of the other action heroes, his catalog is versatile. There's variety in there. He wasn't only doing action movies, he was throwing in comedies. He was doing just voice work on some of those. He was doing
Look who's talking.
some,
Look who's
yeah,
talking.
exactly. Yeah, he was doing some rom-com. So like he would always mix it up. And then on top of that, he would always go back to where he started. Even late in his career, he would still make appearances on random TV shows. You know, for one episode here, for one episode there. You mentioned the Friends one, but there was a bunch of other shows that he would just appear on. So like he would go back to kind of like where he started. You know, he wasn't a one-trick pony that just stuck with one thing. Whether good or bad, he tried a little of everything.
Yeah,
He did.
And just real quick, Dan, what was your top three list again of movies that weren't Die Hard?
I had Sixth Sense, I had Fifth Element, and I think Sin City. What are you gonna say?
The glaring
Armageddon?
omission from your list.
Which one? Armageddon's not top three for me.
I don't know, Dan. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, Pulp Fiction, of course. Oh yeah. No,
Dude,
absolutely, man. But I don't
come
consider that. I don't really consider, well, I guess the other ones, I mean, you're right, because I don't really quite consider that a Bruce Willis movie, but that wasn't the question. It was movies that he was in. So yeah, of course. Come on. Come on, man. Come on.
Come on,
Come on.
Dan. Come
Come
on.
on, man. Come on. The guy's
Yeah,
done
come
so many
on,
movies,
man.
dude. I'm looking at all these bullet points. I'm forgetting everything that he's been in. Dude,
But it's Pulp
I've just talked about Pulp Fiction so many times that I know our audience really doesn't want me to talk more about it.
Oh,
Because
okay,
I'll
that's
save
fine. That's
all
fine.
that for a Tarantino episode because we have to do a director spotlight. Damn right we're going to do a Tarantino one, man. Come on, man. I've been saving all my good material for that one. Shoot. Go
Hudson
ahead, John.
Hawk, of course. Planet Terror. And damn, probably Sin City. It'd probably have to be Sin City. I mean, it's an ensemble, like there's a lot of characters in it, but his stands out. I mean, he's kind of the main dude, you know, like it starts off with him, it ends with him. So Hudson Hawk.
How about you, Jose?
Mirror would have to be, I mean, Armageddon, just on entertainment value. The Sixth Sense. And then the next one is tough. It's I'm
Combat.
gonna have to go Fifth Element.
Yeah, Fifth Element, man, that's
Yeah,
good.
because I mean there's some that would battle to get in there, like Unbreakable is a really good one, but I gotta put Fifth Element in there.
Yeah, dude, Unbreakable is another one that we even get to talk in. Like, there's so many that we can go through. We just don't have enough time. But instead, I'm glad that we talked about Cop Out because Unbreakable, you know what I mean? Like, Cop Out needs to be talked about, not Unbreakable or Pulp Fiction. Okay, that's fine.
Fun fact, did you know I did extra work on the Bruce Willis movie
Ooh, which one? Is it Cop
over
Out?
here in Boston? No, Surrogates.
Surrogate, really? Okay, I've never even seen
Surrogates,
the
yeah.
movie. Do you see
They
yourself
filmed
in it at
that.
all?
I was somewhere in there. I played a random soldier in there. So at some point, yeah. But they filmed that here in Boston. Fortunately, I didn't get to meet him. I saw him far in the distance. All I got was Ving Rhames. Not that nothing's wrong with Ving Rhames, but, you know, Bruce Willis, yeah. Ving Rhames.
That's what I'm saying. Marcellus Wallace, I mean, yeah, you take Ving Rhames. Yeah. All right. So I know Jose had a question for us. Which Bruce character would you want to hang out with most for a day? I'm just going to make it drinks. Which Bruce Willis character would you want to have drinks with and why?
And the least.
And the least. Which one? Oh. Go ahead. Chuck, you want to go first? he doesn't have an answer. You
know, no, I do. It's too easy to say John McClane, so I'm not going to say John McClane. Okay. So I'm probably going to want to hang out with Ghost Bruce Willis from The Sixth Sense.
Why?
Because I want to tell him that he's dead.
But he wouldn't believe you.
I'll make him. I'll prove it. And and least, man, probably cop out.
Okay.
But not fair really enough. For the character, just because he was a dick in real life. So I don't want to hang out with that guy. So
clearly he had bad energy during that.
Yeah, he's got bad energy that got transferred from real life into his character. And I don't want to hang out with that guy. So.
All right, cool. How about you, Jose?
I could just picture you hanging out with dead Bruce Willis. You know? I don't understand. It's like you see them at the restaurant, like there's a guy talking to himself on this table. can you send help?
Well, we could do pranks and stuff, like, hey, jump, like scare that dude or move his shit or something, you know? Like, we could do that too all day. That's awesome, dude. So.
There is a silver lining. If you guys ever go to get lunch, he's not ordering food.
Yeah. Like, we getting drinks. He ain't drinking anything.
He ain't drinking any. Okay, that works. How about you, Jose?
I'm going to go typical because, you know, if you're not going to choose John McClane, then I'm going to choose John McClane because it doesn't matter whether you're going to an office party, you're just going to the airport, hanging out in New York City. Things are always going to get interesting with John McClane. So that little bar trip might turn into a saving the world trip.
Good. So, okay.
How about and then me? The least it will have to be James Cole. That was his character from 12 Monkeys because he was unstable as fuck. And that's now who I want to go and have drinks with. Right. Look, Chuck is so surprised that he froze.
He still doesn't know what to do with it because, you know, maybe right now he's Ghost Bruce Willis. He's Ghost Chuck. So they're playing a prank on us. All right. So I'll keep it going then. So for me, dude, absolutely, I'm going to go traditional. I don't give a damn. I'm going John McClane because he's a badass. Also, what's weird is you don't see Bruce Willis drinking a lot in a lot of his movies. He did in Death. Later, Chuck. He did it in Death Becomes Life. Yeah, man. He did it in Death Becomes Her. He was drinking and he was like a raging alcoholic. But in most of his movies, I know when he was younger, he used to be like in ads for an alcohol beverage. And then he stopped.
It was the Seagram's wine coolers.
That's what it was. And then he stopped because he gave up alcohol. So I don't know if that maybe had a correlation to his film roles where he didn't feel like he wanted to do that. Not saying that's the only reason why I'd hang out with them is to drink, but I always think if I'm going to hang out with the person, we're going to get lunch, we're going to drink. So I'm going to say John McClane.
Before you get to your least, I just thought of another reason why John McClane would be a good pick. Okay. Is he already proved with his relationship with Carl, the cop. Yes, I'm going to call him Carl. He already proved with that he's great with a bromance.
That is true, man. My least favorite would probably be him in Sin City just because he went through so much heartache and the dude was a miserable case, man. I don't want to sit through that. Not to, especially for drinking and he's over here just, you know, being depressed. That's not a fun trip. That's not a fun lunch. I'm good. That's where I'm like, oh, I got to go use the restroom and then I'll just slip out the window and never come back. So, all right, guys, what's on the queue?
Jose.
I feel in honor of Bruce Willis, something that everyone should go back and watch just because it's fucking Bruce Willis, The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Good. That's good. Okay.
That's great. I'm going to tell everyone and myself to watch Moon Knight because it kind of sounds like moonlighting from Bruce Willis.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna do Fifth Element. Everybody, if you haven't watched Fifth Element, please watch Fifth Element. It's such a fun movie, really good. It's like a light version of like a Star Wars, but a little more action packed and more lighthearted and a little more badass. And John McClane in space, man. John McClane in space. Like, I also need to sell it, man. Chris Tucker's amazing in it. Like, he's awesome in it. I love that movie. So that concludes it. Thanks, everybody, for watching another episode. I'm Daniel DeSangre. You can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on IG, Twitter, at King_Sangre, S-A-N-G-R-E.
I'm Chuck. You can find me at Chad Rodwell 12 and at Not a Strong Start.
I'm Jose Ramos. You can find me at This Is Mi Nombre on Instagram.
Perfect. Please watch us on YouTube. You can comment, like, subscribe, share. We now have a customized channel, so you can find us at youtube.com/c/notastrongstart. Yay! Nice. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Not a Strong Start. Thank you, everybody. Bruce Willis, great career. We'll take a whiskey drink for an honor, man. John McClane forever.